from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the main points. Indonesia and South Korea bolster cooperation in financial service supervision. Indonesia and Serbia Interfaith Dialogue focuses on tolerance. Now the news in detail. Indonesia's Financial Services Authority, OJK, held a bilateral meeting with South Korea's Financial Supervisory Services, or FSS, to discuss cooperation and coordination in cross-border supervision of financial service institutions and potential future cooperation. The meeting, led by Chair of the OJK's Board of Commissioners Mahendra Siregar and FSS Governor Lee Bok-hyun, focused on the supervision of financial service institutions by the two authorities, cross-border supervision of Korean financial service institutions operating in Indonesia, and supervisory coordination. Siregar said in the statement released on Saturday, the two authorities need to have an in-depth discussion on the supervision of Korean financial institutions in Indonesia, including their business plans to have a deeper picture of the current conditions. On the same occasion, FSS Governor Lee Bok-hyun stated that the FSS is open to carrying out data and information exchange with the OJK to improve banking and insurance supervision. The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Culture, will submit a number of national cultural heritages to gain recognition from the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. Minister of Culture Fadli Zon, in his remarks at the 2024 Indonesian Cultural Heritage Appreciation Saturday in Jakarta, said that the national cultural heritages to be submitted are Reog Ponorogo, Kolintang, and Kebaya. According to him, the submission, which will be made in December 2024, is part of an effort to preserve culture through concrete programs, in addition to developing cultural villages and empowering artists and indigenous communities throughout the country. Therefore, the 2024 Indonesian Cultural Heritage Appreciation event is an important momentum to remind us all of how valuable our cultural wealth is. In recent years, we have increased our efforts to preserve culture through concrete programs such as submitting cultural heritage to UNESCO. And the closest, in December 2024, will submit Reog Ponorogo, Kolintang, and Kebaya as World Intangible Cultural Heritage.
Kolintang dan Kebaya sebagai warisan budaya tak benda dunia.
Furthermore, Fadlizon also highlighted the importance of innovating in introducing cultural heritage in creative ways, including through digital media, films, performances, and international collaborations. He also highlighted that efforts to preserve culture are not just to rely only on government efforts, they also require the active involvement of the community, academics, artists, including the younger generation, as the key to success in preserving cultural heritage. Indonesian and Serbian representatives gathered for a joint interfaith dialogue in Serbia's capital Belgrade this week to build mutual understanding, harmony, and tolerance between the people of the two nations. According to the Foreign Ministry's Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy, Siti Nugraha Mauludiah, realizing interfaith harmony is consistent with President Prabowo Subianto's Asta Cita or 8 missions, and meanwhile, Indonesian Ambassador to Serbia, Mohammad Chandra Vidya Yuda, said that the dialogue will help Indonesia and Serbia seek collaborative solution to current challenges faced by the two nations. They agreed that the next iteration of the Indonesian-Serbian interfaith dialogue will take place in Jakarta in 2026. The Indonesian Ministry of Social Affairs has sent assistance worth $390,000 in total for residents affected by the eruptions of Mount Lewo Tobi Laki-Laki in East Flores District, East Nusa Tenggara Province. An official at the Ministry's Directorate of Social Protection of Natural Disaster Victims, Taufik Syaira, informed that the ministry has sent disaster relief aid in 4 batches. He emphasized that the Ministry of Social Affairs has been striving to ensure the comfort of evacuees at refugee sites. Chinese President Xi Jinping on Saturday vowed to work with the incoming U.S. administration of President-elect Donald Trump as he held his final talks with outgoing President Joe Biden on key conflicts from cybercrime to trade, Taiwan, and Russia. Biden met Xi for about 2 hours on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum in Lima, Peru, for their first talk in 7 months. Israel launched a wave of airstrikes on Hezbollah bastions in Beirut and South Lebanon on Saturday, a day after Lebanese government officials said they were studying a United States truce proposal. An Israeli strike on neighboring Syria earlier this week killed 2 leaders from Islamic Jihad, a Palestinian group which has fought alongside Hamas militants in Gaza, a source told AFP. Hamas, Hezbollah, and Islamic Jihad are all backed by Israel's arch enemy Iran, which on Friday said it backed a swift end to the nearly 2-month war in Lebanon. Since September the 23rd, Israel has escalated its bombing of targets in Lebanon, later sending in ground troops after almost a year of limited cross-border exchanges of fire begun by Hezbollah militants over the Gaza war. Singapore has offered to host the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, or APEC, summit in 2030. Prime Minister Lawrence Wong said on Saturday, November the 16th, APEC continues to be an important platform for economic cooperation, and the 21 member economies collectively make up nearly half of global trade, Prime Minister Wong said at the close of this year's summit in Lima, Peru. He told reporters Singapore regards this as an important grouping, not just for trade and investment, because APEC also serves as an incubator for ideas around the other areas of cooperation like supply chains, digital economy, and sustainability. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on President Prabowo Subianto receives highest honorary award from the government of Peru. After China and the United States, Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto continues his series of overseas visits to Peru to attend the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation or OPEC Summit. President Prabowo Subianto arrived in Lima, Peru Wednesday evening and was welcomed by the Peruvian Minister of Agriculture, Angel Manuel Manero Campos, Indonesian Ambassador in Lima, Ricky Suhendar, and some Peruvian high-ranking officials. Before attending the series of APEC meetings, President Prabowo Subianto held a number of bilateral meetings with several heads of state, among others, with the President of the Republic of Peru, Dina Boluarte, on Thursday. In an official ceremony at the Government Palace, Lima, President Dina Boluarte awarded the highest honor, Grand Cross of the Order of the Sun of Peru, or El Sol del Peru, to President Prabowo Subianto. El Sol del Peru, originally called the Order del Sol, is known as the highest honor in Peru and is awarded as a form of recognition for extraordinary services given to the Peruvian state and nation. It is usually given to heads of state from friendly countries or international figures whose contributions are universally recognized. This award symbolizes the deep friendship and respect between Indonesia and Peru. The Grand Cross is in the form of a medal with a diamond circle. This symbol of honor is specially designed with a sun-shaped plate with a diameter of 80 millimeters that reflects the glory of El Sol de Peru. Responding to the award, President Prabowo Subianto expressed his gratitude for the honor given by the Peruvian government. He also emphasized Indonesia's commitment to strengthening bilateral cooperation in various fields with Peru and hoped to stronger relations in the future. In the meeting, the two leaders agreed to expand cooperation in the fields of culture and economy. President Prabowo Subianto said that Indonesia would open market access for products from Peru. In addition, the two countries are committed to completing the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement between the two in 6 months. President Prabowo is optimistic that the agreement can signed during President Dina Boluarte's written visit to Indonesia soon. The meeting also included discussions on cooperation in eradicating narcotics and certain common views of the two countries in the international arena. As countries bordering the Pacific Ocean, both Indonesia and Peru have an interest in maintaining peace and stability in the Pacific region. That was this week's Spotlight. I'll start today in history with November the 17th, 1950. Tenzin Gyatso, the 14th Dalai Lama, crowned head of state of Tibet. Tenzin Gyatso is the 14th Dalai Lama. On November the 17th, 1950, at the age of 16, he was asked to assume full political power as head of state and government during the occupation of the region by the People's Republic of China troops. After the defeat of the Tibetan resistance movement in 1959, Tenzin Gyatso fled to India and established a Tibetan government in exile. Tenzin Gyatso was the first Dalai Lama to visit the West. In 1989, he received the Nobel Peace Prize. Moving on to November 17, 2012, World Prematurity Day. November 17th is celebrated as World Prematurity Day. It was first celebrated on November the 17th, 2011, to raise awareness for the millions of premature babies born each year. In addition, although medical technology and procedures have improved over the years, premature babies are still very vulnerable, such as being prone to cerebral palsy, developmental delays, hearing problems, and vision problems. I'll end today in history with November 17, 2013, the crash of Tatarstan Airlines Flight 363. Tatarstan Airlines Flight 363 was a scheduled domestic passenger flight operated by Tatarstan Airlines under the name Akbars Aero from Moscow to Kazan, Russia, and on November 17, 2013, at 7:20 p.m. local time, the Boeing 737-500 crashed at Kazan International Airport while attempting to land, killing all 44 passengers and 6 crew members. The accident caused the airport to be temporarily closed. That was today in history.
Listener, in this week's listener's mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answer their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to an email from Jawad Saber in Morocco. He was listening to our broadcast in Arabic through a frequency 4755 kHz. Hello, sir. Thank you very much for enjoying our services and for reporting the reception of Voice of Indonesia signals in your area. We truly appreciate your feedback. Due to the large number of reports and limited resources, we will send the QSL cards gradually. Please be patient and continue to stay tuned for our services and the engaging information from Voice of Indonesia. As appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song special for you. Happy listening!
Through the danger zone, like a shadow in your home. So let me be your hero and cast away your sin above. Let me be your cast away the sin you own.
side. Take my hand today. We can fly together. Let me lead the way. Stand up, I'll be on your side. Take my hand today. We can fly together. Let me lead the way.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voynews.id and RRI Digital mobile app. In today's edition, we'll give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia tries to get pencak silat into 2030 Youth Olympics. The Indonesian government is trying to get the Indonesian sport pencak silat into the 2030 Youth Olympic Games competition. General Chairperson of the Indonesian Olympic Committee, Raja Sabta Oktohari, in his statement during a meeting with Commission 10 of the Indonesian House of Representatives in Jakarta Wednesday, said that Indonesia had informally submitted a bid to host the 2030 Youth Olympic Games. He said during the Paris Olympics, together with the then Indonesian President-elect Prabowo Subianto, he met IOC President Thomas Bach and discussed Indonesia's interest to host the 2036 Olympics and the 2030 Youth Olympic Games. At the meeting, IOC President Thomas Bach offered Indonesia to participate in the bidding for the 2036 Olympics along with Turkey, India, and Chile. However, according to Raja Sabta Oktohari, Indonesia should focus on hosting the 2030 Youth Olympic Games before moving on to the 2036 Olympics, because Youth Olympic Games is closer and more realistic. Raja Sabta Oktohari said that if Indonesia succeeds in hosting the 2030 Youth Olympic Games and the 2036 or 2040 Olympics, then the international sporting event will be a good opportunity to include pencak silat. He stated that the Indonesian government will submit an official letter of bid to host the Olympics and Youth Olympic Games in the near future. Preparation for the bid itself takes quite a long time. Previously, the Indonesian government had submitted a bid to host the 2034 Olympics, but failed. Later, it submitted another bid for the 2036 and 2040 Olympics. That was My Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, now we will reply to an email from Martin Minkema in the Netherlands. In his email, he said, as a Dutch radio podcast reporter working in Hilversum, he was wondering if the RRI has a radio audio archive going back to the early 50s. And if so, is it possible to drop a request for a single sound file of about 10 minutes of a specific broadcast and what the cost would be? But first, my question, are these audio archives going back to 1951, 1952 present, comprehensive and available? Hello, Mr. Martin Minkema. I cannot answer your questions by myself, so I forwarded your email to our management. So keep listening to our broadcast through frequency 3325 or 4755 kHz. And you can also monitor our broadcast through streaming via ynews.id. Next, let's enjoy the next beautiful song. So happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voynews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for still joining us. the English program from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring Kedung Kayang Waterfall in Central Jawa. Kedung Kayang Waterfall, located on the border between Magelang Regency and Boyolali Regency, is flanked by Mount Merapi and Mount Merbabu. It is precisely located in Wonolelo Village, Magelang Regency, Central Jawa Province, approximately 34 kilometers from the city center of Magelang. The situation makes this waterfall have beautiful views, clear water, and fresh and cool air. Another charm of the waterfall, located at an altitude of 1,500 meters above sea level, is the view of the sunrise and sunset. Tourists can witness the beauty of the sunrise between Mount Merapi and Merbabu. In addition, this tourist attraction also has interesting and Instagrammable photo spots. The route to get to the Kedung Kayang Waterfall tourist attraction tends to be winding, so be careful. Even so, the road is wide and safe, so it can be passed by cars. After arriving and parking your vehicle, you still have to walk to the waterfall. There are two intersections here, namely towards the center of the waterfall or the upper spot of the waterfall. Visitors should note that the road to the center of the Kedung Kayang waterfall requires great courage, because it is quite steep and may take about 10 minutes to go through the river and slippery paths. Kedung Kayang waterfall has a clear water pool underneath, so many visitors would spend time swimming in the pool. One of the exciting activities that can be done at Kedung Kayang Waterfall is observing the vast natural scenery from the waterfall to the mountains from the spot above the waterfall. But if you want to enjoy the beauty of the waterfall up close, you can choose the spot below. If you are in Indonesia and around Magelang, besides visiting the famous Borobudur Temple, find time to visit the Kedung Kayang Waterfall tourist spot, because it is perfect for those of you who are looking for freshness for relaxation. This was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again in the next edition with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, I'll reply to an email from Bernd Seiser in Germany. He was listening to our multilingual broadcast from 6 to 7 p.m. UTC on WWDXC Livestream with Sinpo 55555. In his report, he wrote first unknown foreign language, probably French, announcement by male voice until about 6:37 p.m. UTC. Then sound lost from about 6:39 p.m. UTC, rest of the listeners' letter corner, travel report, pop song, good entertainment, Dieter Lippold, November 4th, web, SDR receiver, October 21st from Japan, program this and that, represented the forum, took part in the competition, frequency announcement, and... Thank you so much, sir, for your reception report, which is certainly very useful for our broadcast. Thank you for your corrections about our frequency. I have forwarded to the Japanese section to recheck it. As appreciation, I'll play this next song, so enjoy the song.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi, inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik. Show the world you're as bright as the sun.
We deserve to be the one. And fight your fears, come on. Don't waste your time. Raise the energy, you'll shine.
Of Indonesia.
Listener, for the next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany.
Today's Miscellany is on two Indonesian students win best graduate titles at Al-Azhar University, Egypt. Another extraordinary achievement was made by two students from Indonesia at the prestigious International Al-Azhar University, Egypt. In the graduation ceremony, these two students managed to win the title of Best Graduates, establishing Indonesia's name on the international stage. At the second international graduation held on November the 5th, these two students were part of 1,500 graduates from 39 countries. The two were Muhammad Sakho Fairuz Adabi and Ihya Mutmainna Fatilah Hanafi, who won the top three positions as best graduates. Fairuz is a Syariah Islamiyah student who successfully achieved the predicate with the hard work, while Ikhya, who comes from South Kalimantan province, also managed to record brilliant achievements at the graduation. This student admitted that she was proud and grateful for having achieved one of her dreams. As a Hafizah, or somebody who memorizes 30 juz of the Al-Quran, Ikhya is also committed to maintaining a balance between studying and worship. Their achievements also received appreciation from the Indonesian government. The Indonesian ambassador in Cairo also attended the graduation as a form of support and appreciation for the achievements of Indonesian students in the international arena. This international graduation took place at the Al-Azhar Conference Center, Cairo. This event was attended by various important figures, from director to ambassadors. Director of Al-Azhar University, Professor Salamah Daud, as well as advisor to the Grand Sheikh of Al-Azhar, Professor Nahlah Al-Suwaidi, also witnessed the procession. The Indonesian ambassador to Egypt, Dr. Lutfi Rauf, was also present at the event, along with the education and culture attaché of the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Dr. Abdul Muta'ali. The achievements of these two Indonesian students are a source of pride for the nation. They prove that the young generation of Indonesia is able to compete in the international arena. That was Miscellany today.
Penuh
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a song entitled Manusia Super or Superhuman. The song is a collaboration from two Indonesian popular musicians, namely Anji and Firsa Bersari, which was released in commemoration of National Father's Day in Indonesia. Released on November 12, 2024, this song is a special offering for fathers throughout Indonesia. The song Manusia Super describes the feelings of a father who often hides his tiredness for the sake of his beloved family. This song expresses the emotional side of a father who is willing to sacrifice for the happiness of those closest to him. The song is expected to touch the hearts of the listeners and show appreciation for the important role of a father. Through this song, Anji and Firsa want to remind that fathers also need support and appreciation. Well, listener, let's enjoy the collaboration of Anji and Firsa Besari with the song Manusia Super. Let's check this one out.
Saat tawa ku buatmu tertawa, cerahkan hari-hari yang berat. Saat senyum ku buatmu tersenyum, mungkin ku sedang pura-pura. Letih ini tak perlu kau risaukan, toh cinta tidak butuh alasan. Lagi-lagi ku mengubur impian, lagi-lagi ku pura-pura. Laraku, marahku, sembunyi tak mau dirimu tahu. Bahagiamu adalah bahagiaku, ku pastikan selalu melindungi. Katamu aku manusia super, setiap saat terlihat kuat. Tak pernah ku dirundung kesedihan, padahal aku pura-pura. Jawabku. super.
Aku ahlinya pura, pura.
Voice of Indonesia.
Di suatu hari tanpa sengaja kita bertemu. Aku yang pernah terluka kembali mengenal cinta. Hati ini kembali temukan senyum yang hilang. Semua itu karena dia. Oh Tuhan, ku cinta dia, ku sayang dia, rindu dia, inginkan dia. Utuhkanlah rasa cinta di hatiku, hanya padanya, untuk dia. Jauh waktu berjalan kita lalui bersama. Betapa di setiap hari ku jatuh cinta padanya. Dicintai oleh dia ku merasa sempurna. Semua itu karena dia. Oh Tuhan, ku cinta dia, ku sayang dia, rindu dia, inginkan dia. Utuhkanlah rasa cinta di hatiku, hanya padanya, untuk dia. Cinta dia, ku sayang dia, rindu dia, inginkan dia. Utuhkanlah rasa cinta di hatiku, hanya padanya, untuk dia. Hanya padanya, untuk dia.
VOI listener, thank you for listening to our English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram @voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.